Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
PHP Podcast. I'm Joe Ferguson, employee of PHP Architect, and your host for this week's episode. With me, hanging out, is Sarah Goldman.
Passenger Princess, what's up?
I can't follow that. I don't want to get us demonetized. I don't think we make money anyways, but I don't want to get us demonetized for us.
Yeah, let's not hurt any of our chances. I'm not sure.
If there's any money being made, it's Eric pulling it in and he can take a hit.
I have some nice things I want to say about Eric later in the show, so maybe I can start up like ripping on him a little bit now. I don't know. That's our production value, no matter how bad it is still better with Joe driving than Eric. So we'll start with that.
That's definitely going to be on my annual review.
I definitely wasn't checking at how long it took you to go from the intro bit to us actually on screen.
I always struggle with that. I wish there was some better transition thing, or if there is a transition button that I can push, that would be so much smoother. So how's it going?
If you're asking me, it's going awesome. I've gotten like 3 hours of sleep in the past week, which is why I'm not going to try to actually host this episode. I'm fine.
You can't use that excuse. I'm on my second day of 4 hours in a row, and neither of which were continuous 4 hours. My son is not sleeping, so I'm not sleeping. Yeah, that's always fun. Like you know how when you, well, maybe I don't know, when you have kids, you always like, oh, they'll grow out of it. My youngest is 10 and has not grown out of it and never will. So that's always fun. So anyways, yeah, he's just not sleeping lately, which means I'm not. But I'm used to it. So whatever, bring it on. This is caffeine-fueled extra time.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So welcome to the PHP Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Our sponsor this week is going to be Displace. We'll talk a little bit more about Displace in a little bit. But the interesting thing, or the big news that we have to start the show off, is the PHP Tech CFP is live and open. And I can share my screen and show you where you can find that. If you go to sessionize.com/PHP tech, PHP-tech-2027, you can see our CFP for 2027.
And unlike certain other people who had demoed this last week, we have the right date on there, the right year. So let's make sure that we're all aware of that.
It is 2027, intentionally. Yes, that was fixed rather quickly. I will give them credit. They did have it show 2007. And then they did fix it pretty quickly.
How is next year, 2027? How are we less than 6 months away from 2027?
I still remember like thinking when the Mayan end of the world was coming up, I'm like, oh, that's going to be so weird. It's like 4 years away, though, so that's still forever away. And now I'm looking back and it's like, what is it, 2012 is like 14 years ago? I don't know how that's even possible.
People who were born then are getting their learner's permit to drive now.
So, yeah, my oldest was born in 2007. My middle child was born in 2010. And my youngest is born in 2016. So, yeah, you don't have to remind me. My 19-year-old is like, how are you not? I have photos of him sitting 3 years old, like being cute and doing things. And now I look at him and he's got a full beard. In fact, he put Joe's beard kind of to shame.
Let's be fair. My beard game is not very strong.
I don't mean that. I mean, keep yours trimmed and neat. His is wild outgrowth. I've tried to encourage him to shave and he's just like, nah, no thanks. I'm good.
I've had this since high school and I shaved it once and the wife essentially said I could never shave it again. So that's why I still have it.
Yeah.
Apparently, I
just want to point out we're like 3 minutes in and we're already talking about children. And if we get a grandchildren, we're going to have to call Elizabeth back on, because
that's fair. I'm just wondering, are these kids going to be submitting to the CFP?
My 19-year-old potentially could, but he's also not a computer person at all. He's busy. He's going to be playing Helldivers. That's his game of the week, I guess, right now.
Spreading freedom among the Helldiver community.
Rasmus's kid's got to be old enough to submit talks by now. Like, he's got to be in his 20s, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. The last time I saw him, he was pushing himself around on a little three-wheel cart. So it's hard to really reconcile that.
So speaking of Peachtree Tech, let me share my screen again. We have started rolling out the videos for Peachtree Tech 2026 on Peachtree Tech TV. There are 37 of them currently. We are still working on them. If you were at Tech, you know we had some technical issues and we had some room issues that caused us to struggle with some of our recordings. So we are still working through our backlog of that. There's a handful of videos we still have left to process, but these are all available right now. You can go watch them. We also have, I think, up to five or more that are completely free that you don't have to pay for. So you can see my talk on modernizing DevOps. You can see my coworker Kalen's talk, which was really good that I couldn't tell you the name of at the off the top of my head. It's right here. It's Modernize Your Old School Endpoints with HTMX.
And it's one of the free ones.
So yeah. And here's Ben Ramsey as well too. Both of his are free. So you can go, see what's up with that Ramsey guy and see what he's all about.
I did not see his open API talk, last year, but I was there for the year before that and he gave it then as well. And it inspired me to go and add some, open API specs to some of, the APIs I have access to, including on PHP.net. If you go to PHP.net, it has an open API spec as slide-driven development.
Nice.
So speaking of Ben Ramsey, I got a follow from Ben Ramsey on Mastodon earlier today. Is it wrong that I still kind of fangirled from that? Like, I've met him, we've talked, and like, I still somehow got a little bit of like fangirl. Oh my God, Ben Ramsey followed me. Oh my goodness.
I mean, I'm a fangirl of Ben Ramsey. So no, I think that's totally fine.
Okay.
He is a unique ID. Yes. Sorry, that's all I had.
He's got a bunch of them, I hear.
I was waiting for the rest of that. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. That's all I had. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that. I should have a better line. Ben, you have a better line than that. I'm sure you must.
Well, Ben's current line.
Your better line is.
I think Ben's current line is, please go read his working group's proposal on the internals mailing list, because I think a lot of people haven't read that. I've gone through it and given it a once over, and I needed some recovery time because it was a lot. There's a lot going on in there, but I think that's one of the steps forward for the internals process of doing things, of allowing working groups to have some autonomy, and at some point even giving them some power to actually make some decisions. That way they come back with an RFC that's more fully fleshed out, and it's less one person's implementation or one person's idea of how this giant feature that's going to span all these different areas of the language and the compiler, how that is actually going to work together, I think would come better out of a working group than one individual. At least it shares the workload and it gets a lot of visibility into the project earlier, or into the RFC earlier.
I 100% agree with that, and then I'm going to disagree with it for the last half of the show.
Well, I did notice on one of your RFCs, Holly's, that somebody called out the fact that they can't find a PHP.net Discord because you keep referencing Discord conversations, and I felt like that was very much a pointy stick being shoved in your direction for, you say these conversations are happening, but I'm not privy to these conversations, and I would come back and say, well, these are preliminary conversations between acquaintances, not necessarily ready for the internals primetime bike shed event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on top of that, though, like, I have no special access. I just kind of showed up and started talking in internals one day and they just let me. And you guys know that they'll just let anybody join that group.
They will.
I mean, of all the people who shouldn't be allowed, I'm probably one of them, because like, I was in there, I'm talking, I expressed an opinion this morning, and like, I blew up the chat. It started a huge fight. Like, apparently I touched a sore nerve. I don't even want to talk about it right now, what it was, but it's apparently was a topic that has been very heavily discussed, and everybody had to weigh in on it. And I think
Ramsey was about to take a chair to somebody, like WWE style. So
I'd love to see that, man. It
can get serious, yeah. So you have to watch out for flying chairs in internals discussions.
I mean, I used to. I'm used to talking, like, I can talk to AI and be like, hey, AI, I think you have a terrible idea there. And it's like, yeah, you're right, I do. Let's revisit that. If I say in somebody, like, in internal chat, like, I disagree with that idea. And they're like, no, you don't. That's a great idea. Don't you dare affect my idea.
How dare you, you shill. No, but I think this is actually, like, an example of, like, how a working group would want to work anyway. You'd want to do some like preliminary pre-RFC discussion to get some consensus built up. And the other thing I want to add in here, since nobody actually said it yet, Node is not an official PHP.NET Discord server, but phpc.chat. Anyone who wants to go over there, you can get to the Discord from there. You can also get to the IRC that's bridged to Discord from there. I think there's one other... It might just be references to social media.
I believe the IRC bridge is gone, but yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you can at least get to Discord.
And there are tons of channels in that Discord, one of them being the internals, if you would like to.
Or one out for IRC.
Yeah. Yeah. There is the PHP internals channel where a lot of internals discussion happens. That's not to say that is the only place internals discussions happen. Mm-hmm. Definitely not the only place. But there's also the PHP Foundation channel there. And if you are interested in being a PHP ambassador, there's the new Foundation Ambassadors channel that has seen a lot of traffic recently as well. And there are a lot of very hardworking moderators that tried their absolute best and go above and beyond to keep that Discord as spam-free and as troll-free as they possibly can, and they do a fantastic job. So definitely a big appreciation to those moderators who help maintain that Discord.
Yeah, I actually want to explicitly call out Tiffany, who like is an absolute machine when it comes to responding to people. Not just, you know, like, you know, bring down the banhammer moderation actions, but just like, hey, the thing you're looking for, it's over there. Hey, which one is over there? Hey, this here is how you can do this more successfully. She's just super active, super helpful, and I don't think it gets enough credit. So.
Yeah, and in between her doing all of that, she has some of the like the best 10 out of 10 cat pictures in the pet flexing channel available. As a connoisseur of cat pictures, I have to, you know, give credit where credit's due.
I will also point out that she and I play in the same DME group. And she plays, I forget the name of the race, but it's the cat race. She is very awesome. Pro cat, is what I'm saying. yeah.
Everybody always loves it. They're talking about their cats, and I break out like my lizard. We have a lizard gecko, and leopard gecko, I'm sorry. His name is Adam. So I love to break him out. Everybody else has got cats, and I break out our lizard. It was a secondhand lizard. One of our neighbors was getting rid of him. And they're like, well, we need somebody to take care of him. I'm like, I'll take him. I don't know how long a lizard lives. Well, he's been like 8 years in our house. I have no idea how long they had him before. I really, like, I've looked it up and they say lizards can live like 10 to 20 years. And I'm like, oh, I guess. I was totally unprepared for that. I thought it would be like, you know, getting a goldfish, like, oh, it'll be good for 6 months and then it'll die if that. Not
like
that I want to
get a parrot, not realizing they live 100 years.
Right. Yeah, like that's kind of what I feel like. Like I got not tricked into, but like handed a pet, and like I didn't realize the level of commitment. It's like when people get bunnies
our cat
for
lived
Easter.
To be 22 before she passed.
Whoa!
And that's
wow.
Not for a cat. Yeah.
Both of mine are 18. They are some old ladies.
Yeah, she was an old lady. At the end, the thing that kind of like pushed us over the edge on how she was doing was she went to jump up on the bed. And you just see these little paws come up over the sheet and then boom. Mm-hmm. And she does it. Most cats at that point will jump up and run away. All we hear after about a second is.
Yeah.
She was done at that point. Yeah. But that's depressing. We also had a dog. She died last year. She looked exactly like this. So I'm going to be assembling this Lego set. I literally just bought this today, not knowing we were going to talk pets, but.
Nice.
She looks exactly like this. She was only 11, but we were only expecting about a dozen years out of her. So
that is adorable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Golden Doodles. So smart. So cute. What am I talking again? PHP? What?
What is this PHP stuff we're supposed to be talking about? I'm not sure I'm familiar with it.
We don't have the chat up right now, but I bet it's just... It's either oh my God, here's a picture of my cat. Or it's, my God, kid photos and cat photos. And
on Tuesday on, what was it? On Live and Kicking, Elizabeth was on with me. We were talking makeup tips in the green room. And poor Mike was there, and we were just torturing him.
Mike was very uncomfortable with that.
I do my best to torture him, so I believe it.
I do too, and I just review his code.
I got no dog in this fight. Sounds like a PHP Arch problem.
Well, so like part of the things we talked about on that was that like during tech, I stole Mike's talking slot. I knew he was giving it up. I didn't know the details of it at the time. I was looking for a slot. He didn't really. But it was the first time I actually heard that story live on like the podcast. I'm hearing, like, I feel terrible. All of a sudden, like, I stole his slot. I didn't know he was like, it worked himself up for it. So like, now I feel terrible about that. So I'm going to submit a little bit earlier than the day of the conference this year. So.
I expect you to prepare. Who are these people? What do they want from us?
Preparedness is overrated.
I've said it in chat right before that we started here. Like, I'm always in equal state of preparedness and unprepared. So, like, whatever, bring it on. I'm handled just as well now as I would tomorrow. I don't need any notice. It's okay. We'll do it.
Constantly zero is still consistency.
Yeah. Like, there's like one of those demotivational posters that says kind of similar to that. Like, consistency is only a virtue if you're not a screw up. If you can wing it and you're like, you're always kind of in the same area and you can like take a slow shot and aim and you still hit that same area, well, just wing it all the time.
There's something about precision versus accuracy.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. I can precisely miss the bullseye every time.
Before we get too far off of talking about internals, I did want to share one thing I thought I found or I have been enjoying, and that is Artisan Build's YouTube channel. Specifically, they've been publishing This Week in Internals videos, and they are fantastic recaps of what's happened in the internals world. And there's a very light sprinkling of comedic timing that is just brilliant for very specific parts of it, and it's just chef's kiss great. And I don't know
because
if it's intentional.
Dry.
It's so dry. It's very intentionally dry, and I don't know how much of that is intentional or what, but it is fantastic, and I can't get enough of it. It is so great to see these email threads and these RFCs broken down into this kind of easily to digest what people are arguing over, and then and then poke a little fun at them for arguing over something that may be a little silly, or somebody saying something that comes across funny. But check out the YouTube channel for Artisan Build. It's a lot of great content if you're curious about what's been going on in internals. They do a weekly recap. The one came out yesterday, last night. It's fantastic, as they all are.
Co-signed. This is a fantastic show. I've really been enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it as well. I actually was saying, like, I can't believe he could even just pronounce all the names so well.
That's the other thing that blows my mind is he nails, like, all of the name pronunciations. And I've seen him talking on Mastodon, I believe, about his process and how he goes through the recording process, the prep process. He does a lot of preparation. There's a lot that goes into that, for sure. And then being able to pronounce those names on the first try, that or maybe not the first try, maybe, you know, who knows how much outtakes or editing he has to do, but it's fantastic.
I wonder that, like, I have limited myself to talking about, you know, John and Eric and Sarah and Joe and Mike. If I have to go any further than that, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Ben's okay. Ramsey's pushing it though. Like I can't talk, but I can't refer to him that way.
Is that like a number of letters limitation or a syllable limitation?
Honestly, it's more like a memory index kind of thing. It's like, I have enough room for this many names. I learned them all in kindergarten, and anybody's name I've tried since then, I'm just
so
like,
anybody you didn't go to kindergarten
out of bounds.
Just right out of there. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm now pronouncing your name E_no_mem.
I'm sorry, it is illegal to prove ownership in the U.S. anymore of people. That is strongly discouraged. We're not.
Yeah, we had a whole war about that.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what to do with that.
The comment was talking about, do you have to prove ownership of your animals that you post?
You know what?
I didn't notice you guys were responding to comments. I'm just like, okay, apparently we're talking slavery now. I don't know where this came from. But
that was right.
Yeah, slavery bad. Let me just get on the record. Slavery bad.
You know that other pesky thing that comes along with preparedness is sometimes context, which helps.
Well, we were talking about like people's names and like, can you prove that you own these people? Like, I do not own any people. I want to be very clear about that. I discourage it and frown upon owning people.
This is what happens when you have a live show and you have live chat. If you're not live, if you're not watching us live, if you are listening to us later, you can join Discord and actually watch the live show with us as we do the live show and chat with us and talk about all the things we're talking about how bad I'm producing the show, or talk about how well it's going, or any of these things.
Or Eric in the chat right now saying Toast is disappointed in us three. You know who Toast should be disappointed in? The one who couldn't come today. And why isn't he here? And why isn't he?
You know what? No, I'm going to back up here. Toast should be disappointed that Toast kept Eric's wife from attending tech. That's what we need to be talking about here.
Yes. Yes. You do not keep Bex from tech. Mm-hmm. It's Demi Rainey, Bex Tex.
Well, speaking of people who may be missing from the show, I believe it's next week. We have the time slot as well if we want it. So we can do this again.
Oh, yeah.
Can we prepare this time?
Look, I'm prepared. Holly prepared. We knew you
Did
were going to be
prepared this time.
We knew you were going to be out gallivanting around some continent somewhere, and we made up for it.
Dude, no, I have been trying to learn to like talk good all week, and I'm got another week of it next week. Now falo português. So that's where I'm at.
Well, you know, it's important to that stuff takes time.
It does. I had a package from AliExpress come. I know this looks like cocaine. I promise you, it's just IR emitters. But I wasn't home because I was in class. So they're like, oh, I'll just give it to the downstairs neighbor. Seems reasonable. Which turns out, lovely old lady, like tiny, tiny, like, I don't know, like maybe a meter tall. Like she's like serious growth problems with this woman. I'm not sure, but she's the sweetest old woman. Doesn't speak a lick of English. So I'm trying to use the best Portuguese I can on her. And she's just like, she's basically saying the equivalent of like, oh yeah, come on in, sweetheart. Have a cup of tea. We're going to give you... She's like...
Sarah, you play D&D, so you'd appreciate this. I heard the other day somebody was talking that they have a character in their D&D dungeons always named Timu, who sells really great objects at really cheap prices, and then you roll like your D20 to see like how good it actually is or what the side effect it has. So like if you have a, like you roll your D20 and you get a like 20, it's a perfect, exactly what it should be item. If you get a 1, it's like, oh, and only works for one swing of the sword or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're an AliExpress fan or whatever, like you should incorporate that into your D&D game.
I'm not going to say, this is literally the first time I've ever ordered anything from AliExpress. Like I needed these particular things and that's where they were. So I'm like, sure. What could go wrong? And apparently, the way packages get delivered in Portugal is like maybe they come to your address, maybe they come to your neighbor, maybe they come to the grocery store down the street, maybe they show up at the post office, maybe they show up at a completely different post office all the way across town.
So, anybody who isn't hearing and reading the chat here, Eric is announcing in there that SoCal Kid is now engaged. So I think that's, given the context of talking about tech, I think that means SoCal Kid and their fiance is going to be coming. Should we save a spot for them to present? Is that fair?
Send them the CFP URL right now.
Yeah.
Start working on your talks.
There's something in there about friend classes and access.
Oh, don't talk to the friend classes. That's like the one proposal I'm like dead against 100% of the time. Every time it comes up, I hate it.
All right, so let's talk shop, Holly. Why are you against friend classes?
Okay, friend classes are a specific use case, and they are so leaky and flawed. Okay. So friend classes, for those of you who aren't maybe familiar, is the idea that a class can say, hey, there's this other class, give it access to all my private members. That way you have two classes that can modify the private members. First off, there's no visibility to that, or there's no restrictions on that. It's just everything. That's a terrible idea. If you're going to say that, hey, private matters and I don't want my things to be public, well, then you shouldn't give it access to everything. That's a bad plan in the first place. Secondly,
isn't there a version of friendship where you only give it access to protected and public, not private?
As far as I know, the RFP was only about it was about private and everything, but that's how it typically is implemented. I might be wrong. So that's the one part. The other part of it then is like, well, what if I'm going to build another class? Like the common case is for a like factory to have access to the private members of the class it's going to generate. Well, what if I'm going to build a new factory? Like, oh, so I have one factory. I'm going to build a different factory. I want it to generate that same class. Now, well, too bad. I have to modify it, or I already have the friend declared. I can't have two factories. Like, it's such a specialized.
Why can't you have more than one friend?
What kind of world do you live in where you have more than one friend, Sarah?
Showing your privilege there, Sarah.
I am super popular. I have a shit ton of friends, okay? Sorry.
You know what? You know what? This is a perfect time to hear from one of our friends, Eric Mann.
Thank you to our partners over at Displaced Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace, for the support. Now, on this friendship, what is the use case, like as an everyday end PHP user land person, what would be the benefit of adding this functionality?
So friendship, if you add it, is again kind of targeting those factory kind of situations where you can say, I want to give so-and-so, you know, this other class that exists, access to all the private members. Okay. Fine. Other classes, other languages have different ways of kind of accomplishing this. But if you're going to say, like, give something else full unrestricted access, then, like, just don't make it private. Who cares? And the alternative to that is, like, in Swift, you can just have, like, an inner class where if you have an inner class, it can access all the private members of, like, similar of classes that are in the same scope. And there's some complex rules around that, but so we can handle it that way. That's not a very PHP like way though. Sarah, I see you shake your head. What's that?
No, I was just kind of like shrugging to agree, honestly. Yeah.
So it sounds like if PHP doesn't have this feature, so today in order to do this, you would just have to not mark your objects or your methods or your class private. Is this in any way related to like Is that a security paradigm where the friendship class is allowing like secure access to these closed off portions of another class? Is that the source of it, or is that the intent, or is it just because everything is private and you're trying to surface that something that isn't private, you're going to use this friendship feature to be able to allow that to happen?
I'm going to jump in before you answer. I'll let you answer. I'm going to let you finish, but somebody's the greatest artist of all time. I forget who. Anyway, I don't want to like go down the security path with that, because there's no such thing as a secure class in PHP. We've got Reflection. You can take all the locks off all the doors at any time.
That was one of the other things I was going to get to, for sure. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry,
and actually, I'm gonna clarify that even one step further. There's no such thing as security the whole way down the stack. Even if you go all the way down to C, the symbols are there. It's just symbol. It's just bytes.
It's far less secure in C.
And like C, all you have are like, oh, I can make this method a static method, so I can't export the symbol. But it's all just symbols and bytes all the way around. And what actually you're gaining is visibility. So. Mm-hmm. That's where, and I started this, and I talked about this proposal a little bit before, and I kind of harassed Eric about it a couple of weeks ago, and this is not formally to a PHP proposal level yet, but like I came up with this idea a couple of years back, and I've worked it out a bit more, and it's become kind of mature now, but the idea of defining surfaces, which are, and like to go into Objective-C land, we had class categories, was kind of the analogy there, where you'd have multiple headers, and you'd import the header of whatever like group of functions you were going to use. There's one for general purposes, then there's one for private methods, or like for those kinds of constructors that friendship wants to handle. So I have kind of pieces all together, but let me go back a little bit of what the final piece was of piecing this all together was. I was writing this code for, and I've mentioned this a few times, the Longhorn app, working in PHP or in native PHP. And I just wanted to throw together an extension. I couldn't figure out what the syntax was. And so I did some research to find out, like, what am I doing wrong for the syntax? And it turns out extensions didn't exist. Got to the PHP, like, internals mailing list. Saw there were a couple proposals. I pieced it together. I did the drafts. I ended up in the, like, top comment or the top story on the internals video we were talking about a moment ago. I still am not used to polluting my own YouTube stream with myself, but whatever, that's life. So I did that, and then I started looking at other kinds of things. Like the 8.6 feature freeze is coming up soon. None of these are going into that. So instead, I put together kind of a 9.0 feature set of like flagship features that are probably going to hit in the next feature or in the next version of if we can put them together. And I've got implementations for all of them. So I did a little blog post because I get to be a benevolent dictator on my own blog. And I put together kind of a fake PHP 9 pitch of all the different features. So starting off with extensions, can we pull that up, Joe?
It takes him longer to produce now that he's actually on camera.
I have to be very intentful with my screens. Hold on. Oh, it's doing the thing it was doing earlier. Sorry. One second. There we go.
All right. So anyways, this is my blog, eventuallywrong.com. Named for a couple reasons, because one, like I love to be putting together kinds of proposals like this, and I'm very good at being right until I'm not. And I
same
that, like, I am absolutely 100% right, and then somebody will come along, and Larry did this to me the other day actually, and it made me, that's the reason I rewrote my extensions proposal. He's like, oh, you know, the scalers need to be part of this. And I grumbled and I was mad at Larry for, you know, 20 minutes, and I realized he's right. And so I rewrote the whole thing and redid the code, redid all that. So that was the kind of lead off feature here. And the next thing I realized that I didn't have and I wanted, I started with trying to build tuples for the record. I just wanted tuples. Very simple. I wanted to return two values. Turns out building full structs was actually easier.
of course it was. Why would tuples be easy?
Well, okay, serious question, just to interrupt. Like, I know there's some syntactic sugar you could put on it, but what really distinguishes a tuple from returning a numerically indexed array and then destructuring it through list or, you know, left-hand side array syntax?
You are 100% right. There's no difference. I wanted the type checking, and I wanted like it to,
Okay, but type checking is super valuable. Yes.
Yeah. So like, type checking and just like I didn't want to do all that. That was really it.
Yeah.
So of course, like any good programmer, rather than writing three lines of code, I did a whole RFC proposal, code evaluations. I've got some prototypes built up, and so this is a similar proposal to like Swift style structs that are value types and strong typing throughout. The initial version I had kind of published to a couple people privately had some restrictions on there that like it didn't have the ability to do interfaces. And I didn't think I was going to be able to overcome that, but I found a path forward. So that is actually a recent update to this that I... Do you have a cache version? Maybe you have a cache version. Anyways, I think you have
the we're talking pod classes, essentially, is what these structs sound like. Maybe you need them to have friends who can factory them.
I think that just refreshed.
Oh, there we go. No, maybe. I don't know. Scroll down and look at the interfaces section just for a moment. I thought I can read it here. I'm looking at your screen. Copies.
I don't see any interfaces on the structs.
Okay, you have an old version.
Oh yeah, you two prepared so well. I'm very shamed here.
I told you I'm always an equal level of prepared or not. Anyways, I won't push refresh right now. But yeah, I actually published the new version. I'm on like V15 now of this. 0.15, not 15. But so the idea though is just like any of the arrays or anything, they are value types, so you have some restrictions. You can't have a function that changes the value because the value is copied in. You only can do in phase one at least. There's some coloring that is needed for later on. Traits are also were able to be incorporated in the new version. So like it turned out really nice. It's just the value semantics essentially. And it really plays to that composition, not inheritance kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. So, So anyways, yeah, I did a full code investigation. This is the only one of these that doesn't have a full implementation yet, and that's because it was still kind of under works. Yeah. So another part then, modules has been a topic I've heard discussed at length. I took a little bit of everybody's module proposal. This is modules PHP style. Take a class that you already have, define a module, define that class is in the module and if it's in the public interface or not. It's so simple. There's very little syntax. All you have for this is a module definition. So there's the first one there just to point out is the like module definition to say what module this is in. The second little blob there is to say what the public interface for this module is. And then the third one down there is showing this is kind of a short syntax of what all, like how you'd use this. So it provides kind of a built-in namespacing, even though it's not modifying the namespaces, it doesn't need any modification to the autoloader to work. And anything that's not in the public interface is hidden by default. There are escape hatches like everything else. If you use Reflection, you can get around it, all that. But this is just a very simple module interface to allow for restrictions of having internal classes. That was the other thing, actually. The internal keyword is added as part of this so that a method can be declared to be used instead of just by your friends, by anything else that's in your same module.
Okay, so it's the extra visibility is the answer to the question I was about to ask, is what does this give us that we don't already have? And it's a fourth visibility level. Okay.
Yep. So it does add that fourth internal visibility level, and it allows that you can't, if you are not in the same module and a class is not part of the module's public interface, you can't instantiate it or reference it directly. That is very powerful, as it turns out, and it works really well. This is fully implemented and in a branch sitting in my private repo right now. No, not private. It's a public fork, I guess, but whatever. And then the fourth is that surfaces proposal. And again, I found the piece to actually implement this while building out the extensions portion. And it is a very simple addition. It just adds the keyword surface and allows that you can define a surface. And it's not an axis level. This is kind of a perpendicular to axis level. So where it's like you have this in addition to. So if you have a method like the cache classes are a good example, the manager classes are a great example. There's a method that it's public. It needs to be public because people need to use it, but not for everybody. And so you can add a surface, you declare it, that method is part of it. And now if somebody wants to use it, they just have to declare that they're going to use that surface of the class. And it adds that to the visible scope for the method or for the object. It's a very clean, very minimal, and I performance tested it, micro ops and all that. It has no impact on performance if you don't use it. And if you do use it, it's very minimal. So anyways, I would encourage people. I think we can share the link here directly. We already did in chat. Thank you. I'm going to take a look after this. We finish recording and see if it didn't push my updates. I thought the CI/CD pipeline should have taken care of it, but I did not actually check it beforehand. That's what we do. We just do it live, right?
That's right.
I mean, Quad just pushes directly, like SSH is straight to production, right? That's how we do things.
Yeah.
Legit.
So I do have to tell a little bit of a story here, though, that is hilarious to me. But maybe not to anybody else. So I'm just going to, this is a story for an audience of me. And if anybody else laughs, I really appreciate it. Even if it's sympathy laugh. So 2013 in February, I was in the hospital recovering from surgery. Eric, being the great guy he is, messaged me at that point. And he was just checking on me and wanted to make sure I was okay. And we were talking for a while there. And when he did, we were just kind of BSing, and I said to him, and I was high on very good pain meds at the time. I would like to be very clear about that. I had a lot of pain meds going, but I had said to him, I've never been worried about PHP dying, but there's one thing right now that I'm a little concerned about is all the PHP like properties are Eric. He's got like a monopoly going. He had just taken over Roundtable. He had the magazine. Mm-hmm. If you looked at like PHP themed podcast, he was the top three or something like that, because he had the Architect, the PHP Ugly, and Roundtable, and that was.
And
really
he's done
about
so
it.
Much with Roundtable.
He has. Somebody should take that over.
Yes, they should.
Oh, we have a plan.
If it's anything plan, like the Cylons plan, I'm worried.
Plans go get my ethos. If you need me to show up, I'll just let me know. But don't count me in on plans. Anyway, so I had said that to him, and like I didn't really mean anything by it. It just was kind of an offhand comment. But he had talked about that in the next episode of PHP Ugly. Like he was genuinely worried about that fact, and that again, it was just an offhand comment I had made to him. So yeah, that was episode. I linked the episode number in our chat here. What was it? Yeah, episode number 324 of PHP Ugly, before he's talking about that. And I never thought about that again until like the last 2 weeks. I showed up on all the podcasts. Like I've been on three podcasts in 2 weeks. Then, of course, yesterday, the internals podcast, like, oh, let's watch this. I know I'm not on this one. I'm like the first 3 minutes is talking about me. I'm like, what happened? I don't even know.
Decisions are made by the people who show up. I wanted to say that earlier about the fact that, you know, you just kind of like fell into internals, but that's all you got to do. Just show up.
I'm a big believer in silence is acquiescence, in that the people who have issues should speak up about the issues that they have.
Yeah. So in chat, my username in chat, and I use it all over, is the code Lorax. And I get to make a joke every time I say that if I speak for the binary trees. But there was a, especially those poor inverted ones, Google has been inverting them for a very long time. I feel terrible about that.
And all of the people they've had traverse those binary trees, it's just, it's rude.
It is. Like, who's going to speak for the trees?
The Ents. But
– You just threw me off there. No, it's okay. But the other part of it is a quote that comes from The Lorax, the book. And I don't have the quote in front of me. I should have had it. I should be prepared. I am well aware of should be prepared. I'm not going to. Don't expect it to change, but I should be prepared. But there's a quote basically that says, like, unless somebody cares a whole lot, nothing's going to get better. It's not. And that's what open source is about. And I love that fact because, like, the people who show up are, and I said, like, with extensions, this was scratching my own itch. This was, I thought it was there. I didn't even know it wasn't there until I'm like, okay, it's not there. I'm going to put it there. And it is. It's going to be a thing. I do not have any voting stake in this, but I'm going to make it happen. So, like, I feel really bad that, like, more people don't show up. You can't sit there and be like, oh, Linux sucks, we need to do this, and then be like, well, what'd you contribute? What projects are you working on? None. Well, the documentation sucks around PHP. I wish they'd really write more documentation. Well, what have you written? None. If you're not fixing it, what are you doing? You're just complaining? Mm-hmm. Well, we can all complain. There's plenty to complain about, but if you're not going to fix it, what are you even here for?
Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to say, I don't want to be too harsh on people. Like, lots of people have their reasons for not contributing. And there are many valid reasons as there are people. But, you know, to each, examine what your current reasons might be and whether or not you still think they're valid. Mm-hmm. So,
what one of the parts about being a PHP release manager is being invited into the PHP Foundation Slack, and that is the real, as far as I know, internals chat. Like, that is even more secret and locked down than the mailing list is, which is open to anybody, literally. But one of the things, speaking about the people who care a lot, and they're the ones that are doing it, there are so many people that care so much about PHP in that Slack, and and there's still a ton of it that I don't have visibility into, in especially the security, handling the security issues and the security reports that come through. I've seen some snippets of conversations about when those things come through and how they get resolved. And it's just, it's inspiring for me to just get access to this location, this source of where all these discussions are happening. And it's been something so important and dear to my heart of being PHP. And this is essentially like how the bacon's being made. It's how the sausage is made. It's how all of these humans come together, and very few of them are being paid to do it. Like, the proportion of people who are contributing and getting paid to contribute, whether it's to the foundation or their day jobs or just outright, there's not that many people being paid for it. And it blows my mind how well the people work together. For all the shit you hear about internals and all the crap you hear, there is much more people working together very well asynchronously that gives you hope than you hear about the trolling and the other issues that come up from time to time on internals, just because of the nature of the discussions there. Like, I joke a lot about the bike shedding aspect, and it's a real problem in internals, but it's because those people care. They really care about the color of the bike shed, and that's okay.
I do want to say, you might be overstating how much secret, you know, goings on there are on the Slack. I do feel like the PHPC Discord PHP internals channel probably has a lot more traffic in it than the Slack does. The Slack is really more about coordinating what foundation devs are specifically focusing their efforts on and where they think they can be.
I feel like that's more actionable. Yeah, that's more actionable focused versus the PHPC internals channel, which is just the wild west of ideas for good and bad.
Well, I'll even disagree a little bit with wild west, because that implies that, you know, people are calling out on what do you call it, duels in the streets at high noon, right. Pistols drawn. And that happens on the mailing list. That doesn't happen in Discord.
No, definitely not.
I feel like I need to defend some of these people, because, you know, it's
I'm not trying to harsh on anybody. Good. I'm not trying to call anybody out.
Why do you gotta be a hater, Joe?
I
see, and this is what's making me think I will never be like a good release candidate person or a release manager person, because like, leave me alone with the code. I'm great with the code. Selling it to other people, convincing them like I'm right, no, it doesn't work very well. Like
I'm the poster child of if I can do it, you can do it for release manager.
Oh no,
so release management is not a social job. It's not a convincing people job. It's just moving the data at the right time and putting a signature on things, and just like occasionally you are called upon to make a executive decision about like, no, that RFC that came in a month late and its implementation didn't come for until a month later. Yeah, we're going to hold on to that. Like occasionally that is the most that will come up, but it will really be everyone's going to agree with it because that's insane. Well, everyone except with Versus trying to get their code in under the, oh, well past the deadline.
Yeah.
You know who you are. I'm looking at you.
I mean, I have one thing I'm trying to get an 8.6 yet, but that is, I hope you're not looking at me for that, because that's
you're trying to get in an 8.6?
That might be too late.
Soft freeze isn't for 2 weeks yet. What I'm trying to get in for 8.6 is just a performance thing with the asymmetric property accessors.
That one's kind of...
That's like, it's not a syntax change, it's not anything, it just was like, hey, we can optimize this a little bit.
It's an optimization. The fact that it is only an optimization would make me less likely to go for it, but it's also a really proven one, so I'm less worried about it. If I were RM, but I'm not. I explicitly stepped down from that election because other people wanted to do the work.
And that's the thing in open source is don't discount people stepping up and wanting to do the work. And that is a rarity. And we've talked about the bus factor in PHP and anything we can do to usher in new blood, or in this case, a first time release manager doing it again to become a veteran release manager, is just kind of, that's less bringing new people on, but that's more, it's more of like continuing people's efforts continuing, which is still fantastic. It definitely beats people showing up and then disappearing, which happens. And that happens because people have life stuff, they have job stuff that changes. So if that happens, that's just part of open source as well. But it's great to see people continue.
I don't know, and weirdly, people who disappear do come back.
Oh, yeah.
And Ilya Alshinetsky came back out of nowhere. That was not on my bucket list for Ilya to pop back.
Who are the release managers for 8.6, just to be clear here?
So I'm one of them. Matteo Bicotti is the other first-time release manager. And our veteran release manager is Daniel Scherzer, who is also one of the release managers for 8.5.
Do we need to start fires as a training exercise for you guys? Like, would that help if I did something to like set things on fire and give you like some real drills to practice something on?
Somebody accidentally force pushed. Now everything's in the wrong shape.
Yeah. I mean, you know, be careful with that as you will. Right. I have not managed to trigger the wrath of anybody yet, but I'm sure that day is coming, and where I'm just gonna like fat finger something and do something just so boneheaded that the only thing we're gonna be able to do is laugh. So yeah, that's the other thing about being a release manager, is that you really can't do anything that can't be easily undone.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised you haven't conjured Eric's wrath yet, though, because after how upset he got about Ben Ramsey knocking him out of running, and now like you freaking work for him, and it's just like, I'm just saying,
I think he's excited.
He's never on some average shit.
I think Eric is excited to see PHP Architect employees be involved in these kind of things, because it's definitely
me. We could have one more. Okay, let's just throw it out there.
We just need a client, is my understanding. So whenever that happens, and speaking of clients and working with PHP Architect, you can hire PHP Architect. We are a agency. We are a collective, whatever you want to describe it. We can come and augment your team. We can be your development team. If you just need one developer for a certain amount of hours a month, we can work around that too. If you need a full development team, we can do that too. We augment teams. We are teams. We can be your CTO. We can be your security team. You can be your QA team. You can email Eric@phparch.com because I can't remember the actual email that they told me to use for that. And also I need to write up this pitch so it sounds a little bit better. So if you are a business owner or if you work on a team that could use some help from PHP professionals, give us a shout and let's see what we can work out.
More than just a pretty conference.
More than just a pretty conference. Also, we have some legit credentials now. We just got SOC 2 certified. So PHP Architect is a SOC 2 certified organization. So if you need services, you know, programming services, DevOps, whatever, from a organization that is SOC 2 certified, we've got you covered there too. That was a ton of work that Eric did not do a whole lot with. Eric let John run with us because I think this was originally John's idea. So John was like, yeah, let's go get SOC 2 certified. And he showed Eric and Eric's like, you can have that. And then John came to me and he's like, hey, can you help me do this? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I did a whole crap ton of stuff. John did even more and arguably the worst parts of it because he was having to write reports or build reports and sign off on things and do insurance stuff and policies and procedures and stuff. All I had to do was keep a bunch of repos up to date and lock Eric out of a bunch of repos, which caused some friction. But he's been a pretty solid trooper about it recently. You're fine.
I was going to ask, is that why there's also a line item in the notes about socks now being on the PHP Arch store?
That's right. In celebration of us getting our SOC 2 compliance, Eric has added socks to the store.phparch.com. If my clicking will work. And see, I did it again because it's the chat shows up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to drag these things around. There we are. You can get your own PHP socks or your own PHP Architect socks to celebrate the fact that PHP Architect LLC is now a SOC 2 compliant organization.
I'm a little bit disappointed there are no programmer socks on
that. That was exactly what I was about to say, Sarah. Thank you.
Sorry, I stole it from you. I really should have let you have that one.
How can PHP Architect claim to even have developers or be for developers if there are no programmer socks? I'm
just the messenger in this case. I don't have access to
the store. What are you even doing?
Yeah.
Eric, you're watching this. I saw you in chat.
So we have socks. We have, if you need your very own Holly PHP Elephant, we still have those available. We also have shirts, all kinds of shirts and hoodies if you're interested. Uh-huh. And we also have coffee mug.
The hoodies.
There you go.
See? I had suggested before the show there was an item that I had suggested Joe should wear. He didn't want to do that, so I just put on my PHP hoodie here.
that's the item that doesn't exist yet. That was the product recommendation. Yet, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the recommendation.
I saw a picture of it. Yet. It must exist. You can't just like make up pictures out of nothing.
Yeah. I don't can absolutely not just imagine products and have anything generate those images for me.
That said, I think I might need one of those coffee cups.
There are some solid
that's
merch.
One.
Yeah.
How much are those?
The 15 ounce.
Oops.
1655 in the in the US dollars.
Oh, and in the lowest value to the three big currencies? Okay, got you. Yeah.
Also, speaking about people who care a lot about PHP, the JetBrains State of PHP survey is open, and everybody should go take it. I will drop a link into our Discord. This is the State of PHP survey that JetBrains does every year. It is essentially a giant questionnaire of programming topics and what kind of languages you're using, what kind of tools you're using. It does skew a little bit heavy towards JetBrains products because it is, after all, their own survey. So they are doing a lot of discovery, that sort of stuff. There is a chance to win something. You can... chance to win one of five equivalent vouchers redeemable at Tremendous, which I'm not entirely sure what that is. But you can essentially make your voice heard in the PHP community. This is the way to do it.
You know, I've got to wonder how JetBrains is doing in this day and age, and this like in the last year even. I find myself not using anything on code anymore. Like, I don't even use Xcode for mobile apps. Like, I just am using either VS Code or Claude Code in the terminal. And like, I'm using it things as a text reader, but I don't write the code anymore. Like, I'm just controlling the AI. And I have to believe that probably decimated their like usage numbers.
It can't be awesome. Eric was even commenting the same thing, I want to say like 2 weeks ago on the show, about how he's letting his license lapse because if you're not spending your time in the editor, what are you doing?
Yeah, I love JetBrains. I've had a bunch of their products, Rider for a long time. I've used, actually, I go back old enough to have App Code, their Objective-C and Swift version. It was great. I loved it. And now I don't know what I would do with a JetBrains product. And that is really hard to say. I love the company. I love everything about them. I just don't have a use for it anymore.
My default text editor go-to that I reach for just about everything is a JetBrains editor, whether it's PHP Storm or PyCharm. I go back and forth a good bit between the two. So I have a hard time, like if I didn't have access to those tools, I would have a hard time like adjusting whatever my daily driver text editor would be. And I think that's just a long-formed habit of using JetBrains tools in the Scratch files, because I use those extensively for note-taking, and then I export all those out, and then I have a script that goes and organizes them and throws them into folders for archival. And it's essentially a really long, convoluted Obsidian kind of setup where I keep track of notes, but there's no Obsidian thing keeping track of them. I just have to go do it all myself, which is not great. So maybe it's time I revisit this for that purpose.
I have only done some testing with Zed. I haven't gotten into it fully yet, but I really want that to become like my default landing page at this point. I really have gotten to the point I hate VS Code. It's functional, but every interface combination in it is terrible. I cannot get used to it. And Caleb Porzio actually has a like VS Code flavor twist or config. I don't know what it's called anymore. He used to have it where it's just basically a big blank screen. And I like the idea of it, but like I just haven't gotten to it. But I'm looking forward to trying Zed and kind of making myself do that for long enough to build muscle memory.
We also have recently announced the PHP version stats for July of 2026. And was there anything, have y'all had a chance to look at this? Was there anything surprising?
I've had a chance to look at it, and I'm actually really, really freaking happy about it. Like the graph is just showing like current state and then previous state and previous state and previous state. But like if you extrapolate out the first derivative of that and you actually look at which versions are rising and which ones are falling, you see exactly the curve that you want to see, where 8.5 is clearly on the rise, 8.4 is a little bit on the rise, 8.3 is actually starting to trend down already, and 8.2 is trending down harder. Like, not everybody's on the biggest, latest, and greatest, but they're all within that support window, which is exactly where, well, not all, but like the vast, vast majority are all within the support window and all appear to be kind of moving with that window. Now, of course, the big asterisk on that is that all where we're able to determine a version and, you know, are participating in the survey, blah, blah, blah. A lot of really heavy lifting asterisks on that. I'm sure there are plenty of WordPress sites out there that are still running 5.6 because they always will until the end of time. But
I did my part and I took a production site off of 5.6 this past week, a side project that was running a 5.6 application way too long. Very specialized niche environment. I had it everything locked down as much as I could, but the code was just not maintainable. And we replaced the app and with the newer version and great success. We moved it on to modern version of PHP. The thing that I like here is that the thing that I see that's encouraging, at least in my experience so far, moving applications from PHP 7 to 8.3, 8.4, and 8.5 has been a really easy lift compared to taking them from 7.1 to 7.2 to 7.3 to 7.4 and then to 8. And then even easier than compared to 5 to 7, right? That migration path just seems like we're getting it. We're either not shipping a lot of breaking changes anymore, or everything is just so well being deprecated and you're being guided so well into using the new functionality, the new features that are being replaced and and removed, that it's just a smoother experience. Maybe that's just code bases I'm working on. Maybe that's just, you know, my experience, but it's reassuring to me at least.
So I have two things there. One, I agree. We actually are getting a lot better at our release process. It is more consistent and it's more regular and it's more just like tick tock, getting one release out a year with a predictable set of features that are going in with all of that classic PHP fanatical dedication to backwards compatibility. The other thing, though, is what you're talking about, Willis. Like, what I hear people say that the upgrade path from 5 to 7 is so hard, but I don't understand where this is coming from. What, like, it's not like there's a big syntax break like we had from 4 to 5. 4 to 5 was nightmare fuel. Okay,
absolutely. What apart from
not bundling MySQL. Yep. And it's just not bundling it. It's not getting rid of it. It's not making it not exist. Just not bundling MySQL. I don't understand what the problem between 5 and 7 was.
My problem that I saw a lot of in client applications was that we weren't going from 5.5 to 5.6 to 7. We were going from 5.0, 5.1 to 7. And that was, and the code quality was just so ancient that it involved a lot of manual rewriting because we didn't have Claude at that point. We did it like we wrote code like the early 2010s, early 2020s by hand, uphill both ways. So I think that jaded my experience in that regard a lot because the code quality just wasn't nearly as good as the code quality that I am currently working with in the 7.4 world, bringing it to 8.
Okay, so yeah, so 5.3 was kind of a big watershed moment. So if you're coming from pre-5.3, then absolutely, yes, I can see that you're going to have more problems than that because there were some really big bugs back there. There was a much longer delay between releases back then. It was a very different time coming from back then. I hear people saying that from 5.6 to 7, though, and that I don't get that.
You know, you talk about that, but like when I only released my blog on July 1st was when I actually published it, and I had written it like a year prior, and I had it on 8.3.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, before I publish this, I should bump it to 8.5. And it didn't work. And it broke things.
Define did not work.
It wouldn't. Like, so the Docker build script that I had failed. All I did was change from 8, like the Docker environment stuff to from 8.3 to 8.5 and it wouldn't work. And I asked you, and
okay,
you said I'm
PHP
on vacation.
Is running at that stage?
Well, it said, I asked you, you said you're on vacation. So I actually like asked the internals chat, which was absolutely an abuse of internals for the record. But again, they let me talk there. It's that's on them. They shouldn't have done that. But I asked them, I'm like, I think I'm just holding this wrong. Can you like point me in the right, what I'm doing wrong here? Because there's something obvious I'm missing. And they're like, yeah, you're trying to build the op cache. It's an 8.5 by default. You don't have to build it anymore. After knowing that, I could not find that piece of information. Like, so like, hey, if you're doing this flag in the build script, you don't have to do it anymore. Like, that was something I feel like it should be added in there. Even
today. No. Okay, so you said it broke. You didn't say that you looked at the error logs and saw a line that said unknown extension APC or more probably a line that said, hey, you don't need to say with APC or enable APC or whatever like that. Because there would have been an error message.
There was an error message.
You look at the error log.
And I shared it to you actually at that point. I don't remember, but that was.
Man,
that was
I can't
2 weeks
remember
ago.
What I had for breakfast this morning. You think I'm going to remember what you did installing APCU?
Well, I was even thinking like I should scroll back in the chat because I shared the exact message. And like, wait, that was in the internals chat 2 weeks ago. That's gone. That is absolutely unretrievable at this point.
I would it be no, gone? Should be use a search like from Holly Schilling,
well, like,
blah blah blah.
Trying to read messages from yesterday in Discord is near impossible when you have that kind of chat volume. But
because Discord can't remember what I had for breakfast either.
Discord, I love Discord, but also, yeah, it's hard. I tried to scroll back, finding earlier things in the conversation, and then like I changed windows for a moment, and I went back, and it's like, hey, let me scroll back to the bottom for you. No, thank you.
Yeah, fuck you. That's what. Well, no, yeah. I don't try to scroll that far. I will only use the search for that. And there's some decent keywords in the search functionality, but that we're getting off topic. So there was an error.
There was an error. Yep. It was
and the module error didn't tell you, hey, you can just take this out of your build script?
It did not say that. That's exactly right. It didn't say that.
Well, it's not going to say that exactly.
Hold on, I gotta find. Now I'm gonna have to find.
It's not AI.
We should take this off air, but I'm gonna find.
Oh, no, no, no! We are settling it right now. How
right?
is my screen more blurry with my glasses on? This makes no sense.
All right, I'm gonna look around and find this now.
By the way, y'all, I'm legit going blind. Like this is not a joke. I honestly just can't really read anymore. So if I don't read your PRs, it's because I can't actually make out the words in the code, which are probably slop anyway, so it's fine.
Just gotta get better screen readers and assistive technologies for you.
Dude, I'm starting. If you look at my phone right now, this is my assist shortcuts, because these are all the different kinds of things I have to turn on to be able to use my goddamn phone.
You know, I got really good at using a screen reader for some years ago, just because I like would have to test my own apps. And
this has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.